to you by DK Audio.
DK Audio presents On Trial for Murder, Courtroom Dramas That Gripped the World by Emily G. Thompson, read by Avna Manzer Wallace. Lizzie Borden, 1893. Who wielded the axe? The Fall River Globe referred to the Lizzie Borden trial as the Great Criminal Trial on the 4th of June, 1893, and even today it retains a prominent position in U.S. criminal history and culture. It captured the attention of the national media at the time, even inspiring a well-known children's nursery rhyme. Intriguingly, opinion on whether Lizzie Borden wielded the hatchet that slew her parents remains deeply divided. Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. Anonymous. The affluent Borden family lived in a modest Greek Revival-style home in Fall River, Massachusetts. Their maid, Bridget Sullivan, whom the family nicknamed Maggie after a previous maid, was resting in an upstairs bedroom shortly after 11 a.m. on the 4th of August, 1892, when she heard 32-year-old Lizzie Borden call out from downstairs, "Come down quickly. Father is dead. Someone entered and killed him." Maggie rushed downstairs to find Lizzie's father, Andrew, slumped on the couch, his body bearing 10 or 11 hatchet-like wounds. Upstairs, in another bedroom, Lizzie's stepmother, Abby, had suffered a similar fate, enduring multiple blows to her face and head, her life extinguished on the bedroom floor. Fall River police officers initiated their inquiries at the Borden residence, questioning both Lizzie and Maggie, the only people other than the victims known to be at home at the time of the murders. The police promptly grew increasingly suspicious of Lizzie, due to her inconsistent accounts of her movements that morning. She initially claimed to have been outside in the yard when she heard groans, scraping noises, or cries for help coming from the house. She later asserted that she had heard nothing because she was in the barn's loft, a claim officers found dubious, as the day was hot and the dust on the loft floor was undisturbed. Adding to their concerns, Alice Russell, a friend of Lizzie's, who lived nearby and had come to stay after the murders, reported seeing Lizzie burning a dress in the kitchen stove a few days after the murders. Alice asserted that Lizzie said the dress had been stained with paint. With the weight of circumstantial evidence against her growing, Lizzie found herself under arrest on the 11th of August, charged with the murders of Andrew and Abby. Following her arrest, newspapers and women's clubs rallied to her defense, finding it highly implausible that a young woman could commit such heinous crimes. At the time, society still saw women as the weaker sex. The Fall River Daily Evening News, in particular, suggested that officers, in their eagerness to detect and punish the guilty, had perhaps been led to do injustice to the innocent. On the 12th of May, 1893, Lizzie Borden pleaded not guilty, and after several delays, her trial commenced in New Bedford on the 5th of June. A jury of 12 men was assembled, mostly farmers and tradesmen. In those days, women were not permitted to serve on a jury because they were not allowed to vote. The panel of three judges was presided over by Chief Justice Albert Manson. Lizzie's defense team included former Massachusetts Governor George D. Robinson as her lead attorney, with the assistance of Andrew Jennings and Melvin Adams. Prosecuting the case were Hosea Knowlton and William Moody. Lizzie entered the courtroom just before 9 a.m. and took her designated seat beside her defense team. She wore a blue serge dress.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?